All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. The truth is, before we begin, it's appropriate. We should give Akaras Atov. Ari is the one who's responsible for setting up the coffee each and every morning. Mamish, it doesn't matter if it's 8 o'clock or 5:45 in the morning. He takes care of it. Shkoach, Ari. He's better than the post office. Better. All right.
Make sure that doesn't come though.
Is this for me? Alright, Shabbos said we left off yesterday morning. Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. So if you remember again, the Gemara was talking in the middle, the Mishnah was talking in the interesting discussion about that, about being mafsik, about interrupting in Shmona Es, right? So the Gemara went ahead and said, the last statement that the Gemara made was, Afilu hamelech shoal b'shlomo lo yishivenu. Even if a king goes ahead and inquires about your welfare, you should not go ahead and answer. So the Gemara qualified that particular statement. Now the Gemara tells the story. Tanur Rabbanon, five lines up from the bottom, Lamed Beis Amud Beis, 32 feet. So the Gemara talks about a certain pious one. So already we've also defined this term specifically, legabe tefila, right? We saw the Hasidim were the ones who were devoting the Shah before davening, the Shah after of davening, and the Shah after davening, which of course, according to the Gemara's initial calculations, is 9 hours a day in tefila. We quoted the Maharsha yesterday who said that Shah doesn't have to mean an hour. That Shah ultimately just means some significant amount of time. So the Gemara tells another story of a chassid who was davening, and there was a sar, some non-Jewish official who came and asked no shalom, gave him a shalom aleichem, but lo shalom, and the chassid did not return the greeting. Him tefilaso. So the sar waited until the Jew, the chassid, finished his tefila. So the Tsar, who apparently must have been very well versed as well, says to the Chassid, you fool, Reka literally means empty one. You fool, it says in your Torah that you're supposed to safeguard your life. When I gave you shalom, why did you not return the greeting to me? If I would have cut your head off with a sword, would anyone have claimed that I was responsible? Or in other words, what he was saying is, if I would have killed you, executed you for not returning shalom to me, I would have had the right to do so. And no one would have faulted me, and everyone would have faulted you. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, so the Chassid responded, Hamtinli Achef Ayasecha. So Hamtinli Achef Ayasecha means, literally, wait for me until I can appease you, until I can calm you down. Now what does it mean? You know, sometimes when someone gets angry, so there are times when a person wants an explanation, and times that a person doesn't want an explanation. So the Chassid is gauging the Sar, Hamtinli. Do you want me to respond, or do you just want to get angry? If you want to respond, if you want to wait for a moment and calm down, I have an answer for you. So he says, So the Chassid now says to the Tsar, tell me, if you were standing before a king of flesh and blood, and your friend came and gave you shalom and gave you greeted you, would you respond to your friend? So the Tsar said, of course not, I'm standing in front of the king. And tell me, my friend the Tsar, if you would respond to your friend while you're standing in presence of the king, what would have happened to you? They would have decapitated me with a sword. So the Chassid responded, all the more so there's a kal v'chomer. Ma ata shayisa omi lifnei melech basar v'adam shayom kanu macha b'kever. Kach. Ani shayisi omi lifnei melech macha yam lochim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shuchai v'kayim lo'ol uli omi olam ha'malachas kama v'kama. So he says, so the Chassid says to the Tsar, you who would have not interrupted your dialogue with the king to greet your friend, and you were standing before a king of flesh and blood, that today is here and tomorrow is in the grave, meaning his existence is not eternal, but yet you still wouldn't have interrupted him. Alachas kama v'kama, all the more so me, who is in the midst of a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God, who is in fact eternal. Of course, I could not have interrupted that particular dialogue. So the Gemara says, Miyad, there should be extra Gemaras. If not, you know what? There are Gemaras in the base medrash. Gemaras in the base medrash. Yeah, the stuff that's in the base medrash. Oh. Miyad nitbas miyad nispayis osa hasar v'nifta osa chosid lebeis halashalom. So again, the particular sar, this particular official, calmed down as a result of this explanation, and the chosid was able to go ahead and go home in peace. But also, just an important footnote: don't bank on understanding sarim, right? Don't bank on understanding officials. We pass in lahalacha that one is permitted to go ahead and interrupt your Shmona Esrei, even if there's any small possibility, minute possibility of any kind of danger. So the Mishnah made a dramatic statement that even if there is a snake coiled around your heel, you should not interrupt your Shmona Esrei. Amar Rav Sheshet says, Lo shanu ela nachash. That's only a snake. Aval akrav posek, but a scorpion, you should interrupt your Shmona Esrei because that is considered to be sakanas nafashos. Meisei, Sigmar brings a contradiction. Nafal legova rayos. If a person falls into a lion's den, ein meidin alav shemes. So this is interesting, a totally independent topic. There are interesting circumstances. We'll see it more when we get to the Masechas Yevamos. But there are interesting circumstances where circumstantial evidence points to the fact that the husband is dead. But yet, we don't have explicit proof the husband is dead. So the shayla is, what do you do legabe his wife? So for example, now contemporarily, there's a whole body of halachic literature that came out of the September 11th attacks, where you were able to go ahead and place people in certain places at a particular place in time, but you didn't have explicit edus, didn't have explicit testimony that this. So my Rebbe, Mordechai Willig, was instrumental in dealing with many of the potential aguna cases in September 11th, and if they were able to go ahead and place the husband in a particular building at a particular time, on a particular floor, when it was clear that no one survived from that particular floor, then again, so the Gemara is dealing with a similar type of situation. Couldn't find? All right. So a man goes ahead and falls into a lion's den. Ein me'idin alav shemes. Falling into a lion's den, interestingly enough, is not necessarily explicit circumstances to go ahead and definitively determine that someone has died. We'll explain that in just a moment. So the Gemara says, "Nafala chafira melei nechashim va'akravim mi'idin alav shemes." But if a person fell into a pit that was filled with snakes and scorpions, that is definitive enough that he has definitely died. Just interestingly enough, Rashi points out, "Ein me'idin alav lomar le'ishto meispalech latir linase pamim she'ein ha'arayos re'evim vein ochlinoso." So interestingly enough, apparently the only time that the lions attack is when they're hungry. So I guess if the husband fell into the lion's den after feeding time, tava alav bracha, he's going to be lucky, at least he bought himself a couple of hours, and he's not going to get consumed by the lions. As opposed to, says the Raisa, if he falls into a pit with snakes and scorpions, then he's definitely going to die.
Isn't there just something with there was a story with Noach when he would feed the lion on one of the...
Correct. He fed them a little bit late and he got into trouble. So why is the Gemara bringing this down over here? The point over here is that aloch lamaisa, we see that snakes do pose a mortal danger. So the Mishnah seemed to say that what if the snake is coiled around your heel, you don't have to interrupt. Why? Because the snake's not a mortal danger. But the Gemara says, what are you talking about? If you fall into a snake pit, then what's the halacha? The halacha is that they would literally allow a man's wife to remarry based on the fact that he certainly died. To which the Gemara says, no. Shiny Hassam, the agav itzitza maski. There's a difference between falling into a snake pit. The notion of going ahead and falling in and agitating the snakes because of the impact of your fall, that makes them more aggressive, and therefore, again, it's considered to be fatal, as opposed to if the snake is coiling around your heel, where lav dafka doesn't have to be fatal. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Now the Gemara is talking about these type of situations of dangerous animals. The Gemara gives a few more examples. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Ra'a shvarim. If a person sees oxen, posek, he should go ahead and stop. Meaning, whatever you're doing, stop. Apparently, oxen, by definition, are dangerous. Ditani Raboshia, marchikin mishortam chamishimam. Because Raboshia said, you should place a distance between yourself and a short time. Now, Rabosai, a short time is a shor, is an ox that has never gored a person. So it's a shor that has never demonstrated objectively aggressive behavior. But still, what Rabbi Oshi is saying is, oxen are aggressive animals. So even if the ox hasn't actively done something to a person, if you see one, distance yourself 50 amos. Mishor muad, if you see a shor muad, which is a shor ultimately that has gored a person, then what? Kimali einov. Distance yourself, get out of sight, right? You should not be able to see that type of ox. Talmishad Rab Meir, Reish Tura Bidikula. So Rab Meir takes it a step further. He says, even if you see the ox's head in its trough, Rashi says, Bidikula, Sal Shatolun Bo Tevin Barosha Ba'ochel. It's not really a trough. It's, I guess, like a feed bag. They would go ahead and put some kind of bag literally around the head of the ox that the ox would feed up. What the Gemara is saying over here is that even if you see the ox occupied with eating, Sulik Le'igra, run up to the attic, Vishadi Darga Mitusach, and take away the ladder. Now, the Mashah points out, it's a little bit of hyperbole over here. It means get out of Dodge. You know, make sure that you are totally out of the way of this ox. See, even if the ox is preoccupied, even if you're in the attic, meaning as skilled as the ox is not climbing the ladder to the attic, but nevertheless, remove any type of connection between you and the ox. Amar Shmuel, Hani Mili Bishor Shachar, Ubiyome Nisan. So Shmuel says that Afka refers to a black ox in the days of Nisan, Mipnei Shasatan Meraki Lo Bein Karnov, because the Satan is dancing between its horns. Now, what does that mean? So apparently, black oxen had a little bit more of a volatile temperament to begin with. Yomei de Nisan is when the winter is over and vegetation is starting to sprout. Apparently, that was a time in general when oxen were more aggressive. So you have a black ox, which is volatile to begin with, at a time of year when all the oxen are flexing their oxen muscles. Get out of its way. Tanu Rabbanan. There was a story with an Arud who was harming people. And I will say, what's an Arud? So Rashi points out over here, min hanachash v'hatzav, that an Arud is a crossbreed between a snake and the toad. So I don't know. I tried to Google it. Didn't. I couldn't come up with too many results. But all right, an arud. So was it? Now, interestingly enough, arud is used elsewhere as a wild donkey, which is also considered to be a dangerous animal. But all right, this arud is a crossbreed. Rashi says between the snake and the toad. So there was this arud that was really hayamazik esabrios, was harming people. So listen to this. Bo'u v'odil Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. They came and they told Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. See, every single time I think that my job has too many responsibilities, I remember this Gemara. Right? So they came to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, like they were expecting him to go ahead and do something about the arud. So what happens? So he said to them, Amar lahem haru li es choro. Show me where its hole is. Right? Where is the arud living? Heru es choro. They showed him the hole of the arud. Listen to this. Nasan akevo api hachor. He put his heel on the entrance, yeah, the opening of the arud's hole. Yatsa, the arud came out, took the bait, v'nashcha, bit Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, umes, osa arud. And the arud died. Notlo al ksefo, ve'vi lebeis ha-medrash. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa took the arud right on his shoulder and brought it to the beis medrash, and he said to him, listen to this, Amar lahem, ru'u banai, ein arud memis ela hachet memis. It is not the arud that kills people. It is sin that kills people. Meaning, as Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was saying, is the truth is, if a person is kadosh, they will not be susceptible to the bite of the arud. It's only ultimately if a person is handicapped because of their sin, then they're susceptible to the venom of the arud. So listen to how this Gemara ends. Ba'osa sha'amru. Oy lo la adam shepago bo arud. Woe to the person who encounters an arud. V'oy lo la arud shepago bo Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And woe to the arud that comes in contact with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Says the Mishnah. Maskirin gevuras gesham b'tchias ha-mesim. We go ahead and we remember the strength of the rain in Tchias HaMesim. What that refers to is Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem, that we say in the bracha of Mechal Kilchayim, the bracha of Mechayim HaMesim. Now both say, understand, Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem is not a request. It's not a request. That's why the Gemara uses Lashon Maskirin. It's a statement. Because remember, first of all, we know we don't make requests within the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei. So that's why it's called the Haskara. It's called the remembrance. Usheila beberkas Hashanim. When do we request rain? We request rain in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu, where we say the Saint Halumat Libracha. That is a bakash, that's a request. V'havdol b'chonin adas. We make havdol b'chonin adas. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Omra bracha revias b'fnei atzma. Rabbi Kiva happens to hold that we say havdolah as an independent fourth bracha. Rabbi Eliezer Omer b'hoda. Rabbi Eliezer holds that halacha l'maisa, we do it in modin. So just so you should understand, where is Rabbi Akiva putting this fourth bracha? Rabbi Akiva is putting this fourth bracha, would apparently be, well, we'll see where it is, actually. We'll leave that to the Gemara. And Rabbi Eliezer holds you put in modim. Fine. So the Gemara said, Maskirin Gvuras Geshamim. So we go ahead and remember, we make mention of the rain in the bracha of, or in Tchias HaMesim. So the Gemara says, my taima, why there? Why make mention of the rain in the bracha that seeks out the resurrection of the dead? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, mitoch sheshkula kitchias hamesim, lefichach kavuha bitchias hamesim. Because since the rain, now the literal translation over here is that the rain is equal to resurrection of the dead, therefore we put, so what does that mean? Just like, simple pshat is, just like resurrection of the dead is the restoration of life, so to rain, of course, is also life. Usheila bebirkas hashanim. And why do we put the same talamot livracha in Baruch Aleinu? My time, Rav Yosef, mitoch shehi parnasa. Because since rain provides us with parnasa, provides us with sustenance, the bracha of Baruch Aleinu is also all about sustenance as well. Lefichach kavua bebirkas parnasa. Havdala bechonin adas my time. Why do we put the bracha of atachon antano in atachonin ladam das, which is the bracha of knowledge? Amar Rav Yosef, mitoch shichachma kavuha bebirkas chachma. So it's actually very interesting. Because since the bracha, since atachoni la'adam da'as is what? It seeks out the ability to discern and distinguish between kodesh and chol, between that which is holy and that which is profane. So where do we put it? We put it in the bracha of knowledge of atachoni la'adam da'as. A person requires knowledge in order to be able to discern between that which is holy and that which is profane. For Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say, mitoch shehi chol, lefichach kavuha bebirkas chol. So on the other hand, the Rabbanan say, no, it's even simpler. Since Havdalah comes to return us to a state of chol, so therefore, where do we put Havdalah? In the first of the vachadika brachos, right? In the first of the weekday brachos, which is atachonin la'adam das. Am Rabbi Ami, gidola dea shenitna betchilas bracha shalchol. So Rabbi Ami says, see how great wisdom is, that it was put as the first weekday bracha. Meaning, what's amazing to note is, the first thing we pray for, right? The first thing we pray for, ultimately, in our weekday Shemona Esrei, is knowledge. Not parnasa, not refuah, but understanding. You can see how great wisdom is, understanding is, because wisdom is mentioned in between two names of God. Because the pasuk says, Kikel Deos Hashem. God is a God of wisdom, a God of understanding. So the idea that Deo is mentioned in between two divine names of Kel and Hashem indicates that understanding is a great thing. The Chom Yishein Bo Deo, Asra L'Rachem Alav. It's also an interesting lashon over here. And anyone who does not have Deo, anyone who does not have understanding, it is Asra to have compassion on him. So what does it mean, Abbas? So the Marsho explains that if a person doesn't take it upon themselves to have das, to try to understand things, there is no obligation to help such a person out. Or in other words, if a person is not helping themselves by cultivating some level of understanding about their life predicament, then asr rachim ala. Then it's not literal, by the way, but it means is you're not obligated to help someone who doesn't exhibit just basic understanding of life. Shene emar kilo am binosu alkein lo yirachamenu oseu. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Godol Mikdosh, Shenoson Bey, Shenitain Bey's Osios. So see how great the Beis HaMikdosh is, because the Beis HaMikdosh is also mentioned in between two names of God. Shen Emar, Pa'alto Hashem Mikdosh, Hashem. So you see over here that the word Mikdosh is mentioned in between two names of God. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Adam Shiyish Bodea, any person who has understanding, Kilo Nivna Beis HaMikdosh B'yomav. It's as if the Beis HaMikdosh was constructed in his days. So the Gemara says, how do we know that? Dea Nitna Ben Shnei Osios, Mikdosh Nitim Ben Shnei Osios. Because just like the Beis HaMikdosh was given, or just like Dea was mentioned in between two names of God, so too the Mikdash was mentioned in between names of God. Therefore, any person who has Deya, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in their days. Maskifler of Acha, Kirachinha, Elame Ato Gidola Nekama, Shenitna Bein Shtei Osios. But here's something else that was also mentioned in between two names of God, which is what? Vengeance. Right? The concept of divine vengeance was also mentioned in between two names of God. And the truth is, vengeance we would not normally extol as a good thing. Shenemar Kel Nekamos Hashem. So here again, Nekama, right? Which vengeance. I want to point out, vengeance doesn't necessarily mean revenge, right? Vengeance just means this divine attribute of din, of strict justice. So it's also mentioned in between two names of God. Amarle, he responded, yes, in Bemilsa Miha Gidoli. So here the Bible says a very incredible yesod. Divine vengeance is good when? When it's warranted. Divine vengeance, Midas Hadin, is the midah that sets the bound, that sets the scale, that sets things straight. It's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and yes, puts the Rishayim in place, and de facto also builds up the Tzadikim. V'haynu da'amar ula shtei nekamos halal lamali. Why do we need two nekamos? That's mentioned in the Pasuk. Achos l'ra v'achos l'tova. One that is for our good, and one is that for our detriment. Dichsiv, hofia mehar paran. The Tova Dichsiv, Hofia Mehar Paran. So I'll say one example of divine vengeance that's good is a reference to the fact that God appeared from Har Paran. Now, the Medrash understands that. What is this a reference to? This is a reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first offered the Torah to all of the nations. They all rejected it, and therefore, as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared from Har Paran and gave it to us. And I will say, you have to understand, the fact that the Umos, all the nations of the world rejected the Torah, so led to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take some vengeance upon them for that. That's good vengeance, ultimately, because that vengeance bolsters the fact that we did accept the Torah. L'ra'a d'chsiv, kel mekamos Hashem, kel mekamos Ophiah. On the other hand, the negative attribute of divine vengeance is the divine vengeance that's vented against us for non-compliance with the divine will. Rabbi Akiva Omer Bracha Revius. So Rabbi Akiva said, going back to Abdullah now, Rabbi Akiva is, we say Abdullah as a fourth independent Bracha in Shmona Esrei. Omer Rav Shman Bar Amal Rabbi Yochanan, Michti. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah Tiknu L'Ayin L'Yisrael Brachos U'Tfilos Kedushos V'Havdalos Nechzi Heichon Tikun. So we'll say, we had this question earlier in the Gemara as well, which is, anytime you deal with an institution of prayer, so remember, it's not like somebody just decided to put this together in their living room. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah structured our Tfilos, so why should we have a machlokes about Atachonantanu? Let's just go back to the original Takana. How did the men of the Great Assembly establish that we daven at Takana? So you must say, I don't understand why this is a dispute. Let's go back and look at the Iker Takana. So this is fascinating. Amar Lei, Betchila Kavua Betfila. In the beginning, so Havdalah was made as part of Tfila. Heshiru Kavu Alakos. Now, the reason why Havdalah... Now, why is Havdalah even in Tefillah to begin with? Remember, we can't get into it today, but there is a very strong correlation between Tefillah and Kiddush. So just like we do Kiddush alakos, so Havdalah really is supposed to be the Chatchila alakos. So the Gemara is saying, so why was it in Tefillah to begin with? It was in Tefillah because the time that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah went ahead and instituted it, it was a time of compromised finances, a time of really impoverished circumstances. So because of that, when they made Havdalah, Havdalah was originally made in Tefillah. Heshiru, then the people became more wealthy. Kavua alakos, they took it out of prayer and simply established it alakos. He'anu, then people became impoverished again. What did they do? Chazer v'kavua b'tefillah. They put it back into tefillah. The Rebbe will say, at this point in time, when they put it back into tefillah, there was no more going back and forth. This was too much, because now it's just going to get confusing. So what happens? They left it in tefillah. They left it in tefillah, but you also do it alakos. V'heim amru, and the Chazal said, ha'mavdil b'tefillah, tzorech she'yavdil alakos. That even if you do have Havdalah in Shmoneh Esrei, you still have to go back and do it al hakos again. So Rabbi said, with the Gemara's answer, now we understand the ambiguity. Why? Because it was a flip-flop takana. It was in, it was out, it was in, it was out, now it's back in. When you flip-flop like that, what ends up happening? There is what we call takana ambiguity. So takana ambiguity is, we're not sure. When it keeps on changing. We're natural, and that gives birth to this machlokas. It's marnami. I'm Rabbi Chiya, but I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Anshe kines agdol tiknul and Yisrael brachos feels kedushas v'adals. Right, v'adals. Anshe kines says agdol instituted everything. Betchila kavua. Betfila, we have shiru kavua lakos chazru ve'anu hekavua betfila vehein amru hamavdu betfila tzurk shiyavda alakos. So this gemara, that price is just restating what we said before. Itmar nami, another statement. Rabba v'Rav Yosef to Amrit Avayu. Rabba v'Rav Yosef both said hamavdu betfila tzurk shiyavda alakos. Even if one makes havdala in their davening, they still have to go back and do it alakos. Amar Rava umosvinan ashmaitin. So now Rava comes back and imposes this on our Mishnah, or raises this question on the Brisa we read before. So let's go back now. The Gemara is now saying, let's take what we just learned and apply back to the Brisa. What did the Brisa say? If you made a mistake and did not mention Mashivaruch Mori Dageshem, or Ushe'ilu Bebirkas Hashanim, or V'sein Talamat Livrach Nebrach HaBorich Aleinu, Machzirin Oso. The halacha is, you must go back. V'havdala B'chonin Hadas, Ein Machzirin Oso. But yet if you omit Havdala B'chonin Hadas, you need not go back. Why? V'pnei Sheyachol La'omra Alakos. Because you can go ahead and always say it later on, Alakos. So the Gemara, so I will say, why is this a contradiction? Because the way that the previous two, bless you, the way that the previous two Brisos were phrased was not like it's an either or, but what? That the takana of Havdalah is you say it in tefillah, and what? You must say it in tefillah, and you must say it alakos. The way this brisa was just phrased is not like that. The way this brisa is phrased is say it in tefillah, alright, and if you don't get it in tefillah, you don't have to go back. Why? Why? Because you can always say it alakos. But the question is, you can always say it alakos, it makes it sound like what? That alakos is optional. So the Gemara says, no. Lo teima mipnei shiyocha lo omar alakos. Don't say, don't read the brisa as because you can say it on the cup of wine, rather, ela'ima mipnei sho'omra alakos. Say that you don't have to repeat shmona esrei. Why? Because you do say it alakos. Meaning, so now the brisos are in perfect harmony with one another. The takana is alakha lamaisa. You have to say it in tefillah, and you have to say it alakos. Just the brisos, if you happen to omit it from tefillah, you don't have to go back because you will be saying it alakos. It's barnami amar rabinyan barayafes, sho'o rabbi yosi es rabbi yochanan betzidon. Rabbi Yossi asked Rabbi Yochanan and Sidon, va'amil Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov de Minsur, asked Rabbi Yochanan, va'ana Shamis, va'amil Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov de Minsur, asked Rabbi Yochanan, va'ana Shamis, hamavdil betfila, tzorech shiyavdil alakos olo. So he asked him, if a person makes Havdalah in davening, do they have to say Havdalah alakos or not? Va'amil Rabbi, and he said to him, tzorech shiyavdil alakos. You must make, still, even if you said it in tefillah, you still must make Havdalah alakos. Ibailahu. Hamavdil alakos, mahu sheyavdil betefillah. This is actually very interesting. So what happens if you reverse the order? Right? What happens, halacha lemaisa, if a person made tefillah Havdalah alakos, but did not yet daven? Alright, so whatever the circumstance is, Shabbos is over, you need to make Havdalah alakos, but you didn't yet daven ma'ariv. So you've already made Havdalah alakos, now you're going to daven ma'ariv afterwards, should you say atachan antanu in Shmona Esrei? So the Gemara says, Amr of Nachem Bar Yitzchak Kavachom Mitzvila. It's Kavachomer. Uma Tfila de Ikar Takanto Hi Amri Hamavdil Mitzvila Tzarashi Avdil Alakos. So now I will say like this. What's the Kavachomer? The Ikar Takana of Havdalah is where? Is Tfila. Why? Why? Because that's the first place that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah actually instituted it. Right? So the if Halacha Lemaisa, when you go ahead and you say Havdalah Alakos, you still have to go back and, you say Havdalah in Tefillah, you still have to go back and say it Alakos, right? The love Ikar Takanta, one more time. So Hamavdil Betfila Tzarashi Avdil Alakos, Hamavdil Alakos, the love Ikar Takanta hi, Lokol Shekin. So I will say, if when you fulfill the Ikar Takana of saying Havdalah Betfilah, you still have to go back and do it Alakos, then what? Then Kavachomer, if you do it Alakos, you certainly must what? You certainly must go back and still say it betfila as well. Tani Rab Acha Aricha Kamei Drav Chinina. Amavdil betvila mishubach yoser mimi sheyavdil alakos. So here the Gemara says that Rav Acha Aricha said before Rav Chinna a very interesting lashon, that if one goes ahead and does havdalah in tvila mishubach, that is more praiseworthy than one who makes havdalah alakos. Ve'mevhivdil bezu yanuchu lo brachos al rosho. But if you do it in both, ma'amish agreis tzaddik. So the Gemara says haguf akasha. But one second, this is an inherent contradiction. Amrit hamavdil betvila mishubach. So we'll see, here's what's interesting. When the Brisa says this lashon of that if one makes Havdalah in Tefillah, that is more praiseworthy than one who makes Havdalah alakos, that automatically tells us what? That as soon as you make Havdalah in Tefillah, you are Yotze, the mitzvah of Havdalah. Then it goes back and tells us that if you go ahead and you make it ala kos, mishubach yanuchulu brachos arosha, you're an incredible tzaddik. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The chevan dinafik le bechada echdar v'havi le bracha shena tzricha. So the Gemara asks a fundamental question. If indeed you discharge your obligation of havdalah, with your Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, then going ahead and making Havdalah ala kos essentially is what? A bracha shein tzricha, a necessary bracha. V'amar Rabbi, timar Reish Lakish, Rami de Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Rami Tarvayu, kala mevorich bracha shein tzricha, over mishum lo sisa. Very strong wording, Rabbi Osai, that Aloha Lamayis, if you make a bracha shein tzricha, meaning if you make an unnecessary bracha, you are in violation of the second of the Ten Commandments of taking God's name in vain. So I don't say, what's the pshat? What do you mean? So if you're Yotzi, you're Yotzi. If you're not Yotzi, you're not. So the Gemara says, no. Elda ema achi, im hivdil bezu ubezu. Excuse me. I'm really hachi. Im hivdil bezu, below hivdil bezu, yanuchu lo brachos arosha. So both, according to this reading of the Braisa, according to this Braisa, you're right. You don't need both. You don't need both. Rather, if you do one of them, yanuchu lo brachos arosho. Right? So if you go ahead and you do Havdalah in your tefillah, and you don't do Havdalah ala kos, according to this Braisa, you're an incredible tzaddik because you fulfilled your obligation. But in Achnam, according to this Braisa, if you did both, then what? Then it's not only you're not a tzaddik, but you've been in violation of lo sisa. Now I'll say, obviously, we do not paskin this way. We don't pass this way. Of course, for us, it's not a problem of bracha shena tzricha. Why? Because atachanan tanu doesn't have a bracha. Right, because Atachanan Tanu is a simple paragraph about Havdalah, and ultimately the bracha, the Havdalah ala kos, is when we ultimately make the bracha of Havdalah. So interestingly enough, this is why we skirt this issue. I mean, this is why, even though we insert Atachanan Tanu into Shmona Esrei, we dafka don't do it via a bracha, in order not to run into this problem of making unnecessary brachas. Even though one could have made the very cogent argument that even if you made a bracha of Atachanan Tanu Shmona Esrei, it's still not a bracha shein tzricha. Why? Because the truth is, both aspects of Havdalah actually take care of different things. The Havdalah, we'll see this later on, but the Havdalah that we say in Shmona Esrei allows us to do melacha, versus the Havdalah that we make ala kos allows us to go ahead and engage in achila, engage in eating. But we'll see that later on. Ba'amine, merav chista, a lot to do still. Ba'amine, so this is a fascinating question now. What happens if a person makes a mistake in both? You made a mistake in Havdalah, in your Shmona Esrei, and Havdalah in Havdalah ala kos. So mahu, what is the halacha? So let me just explain this to you very, very, very quickly. So listen to this. So I'm going to work very backwards right now. I'm going to tell you this case as it appears in the Shulchan Aruch. So this is in Simen Reish Tzadik Dalid Sif Aleph. Here is the case. Omrim Havdalah B'chonin Adas V'im Ta'a V'lo Hivdil. Right? So now, Ta'a number one is you omitted Atachanan Tanu from Shmona Esrei. That's Ta'a number one. Okay? So the halacha is, and now what's the Ta'a number two? Ta'a number two would be, let's say you ate before you went ahead and made Havdalah ala kos. Those are your two mistakes. So mistake number one is you omitted Atachanan Tanu. Mistake number two is you sat down from a lava malka before you made Havdalah ala kos. Okay? Now, Mahu, what is the halacha? So Amar Lei, Ta'a bizu ubizu. Chozer l'rosh. If you made a mistake in both things, in both Havdalos, then what? You go back to the beginning. What does that mean? Rashi points out, Chozer l'rosh, l'tfila u'lakos. Rabbi said, this is a fascinating halacha. So what do you do? What do you do if you messed up on both Havdalos? The halacha is, you have to go back and daven again Daven Meirav again, and insert that Tachanan Torah. And that is how the Shulchan Aruch codifies it. The entire Kodem Shehivdil Alakos, Tzarech Lachzur Ulahavdil Betfila. So if you mess up on both Havdalas, now again, messing up meaning you omitted that Tachanan Torah, you ate before Havdalah, you have to Daven Meirav again, and insert that Tachanan Torah. Why? Mishnah Berurah says it's a knas. It's a penalty. You messed up on both Havdalas. We're gonna fix you, right? Right. So you're not gonna forget again because now you're davening Ma'ariv again. So Rabbi, even though remember, what's the chiddush over here? Normally, if you omirat tachanan tano, you don't have to go back. But that's because why? Because you're so mechal avdal al kos. But if you messed up both, and it's a little known halacha, probably because Baruch Hashem, no one's this reckless, right? To forget it, Atachan Tanu, it happens, right? But to forget the Atachan Tanu Avdala, so but Halacha Maisi, if you did mess up both Avdals, you have to go back and repeat Shulah Esra Atachan Tanu. Amar li Ravina l'Rava, Hilchasamai. Amar li Ravina, Hilchasamai. What is the Halacha? Amar leki Kiddush. So he says it's like Kiddush. Ma Kiddush, Af Hagav de Mekadesh B'Tzalusa. Now, I will say, what he's asking is, what is the halacha? He's not asking on this last case. He's asking in general, what is our structure for Havdalah? So he says it's like Kiddush. Ma Kiddush, Af Hagav de Mekadesh B'Tzalusa, Mekadesh HaKasa. Af Havdalah Nami, Af Hagav de Mavdil B'Tzalusa, Mavdil HaKasa. So the truth is, and Rabbi said, we see this, there are many, many halachic similarities between Kiddush and Havdalah. They're considered to be the bookends of Shabbos. Just like by Kiddush, we make Kiddush in Tefillah and Alakos, so too by Havdalah, we make Havdalah in Tefillah and also Alakos. Rabbi Eliezer Ormba Hoda. Rabbi Eliezer says that we see Atachan Antano in Havdalah. We say Havdalah, we say Atachan Antano in Modin. Rabbi Zera Hava Rachid Chamro. Rabbi Zera was riding on a donkey. Hava Kashatav Oz Rabbi Chieber Avin Basre. Rabbi Chieber Avin was following behind him. Amr lei vaday da amrisu mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer b'yom tov shechalios achar haShabbos. So he said to him, "Is it true, or that it was certainly told over to you in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer on a situation of yom tov that falls on Motzei Shabbos?" So here's what's interesting: when yom tov falls on Motzei Shabbos, then what? We have no bracha of Atachonin la'adam das, obviously, because you're going into Yom Tov Shmona Esrei. So the interesting shaila then comes up is, what do you do with Havdalah? Now we know for sure, you're certainly making Havdalah, why? Because even though you're going from Shabbos into Yom Tov, but Shabbos is a stronger Kiddusha than Yom Tov. So you're still making Havdalah. So now, interestingly enough, Rabbi Zeira said, did you hear told over the name of Rabbi Yochanan that even though normally we don't pass in like Rabbi Eliezer to put what? To put Avdalah in Modim, but on Shabbos, on Shabbos that goes into Yom Tov, we do follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer for the simple reason that what? There's nowhere else to put Havdalah. So you might as well go ahead and put Havdalah in Modim, or so we think. Amr Le'in. So he responded, yes, that's what I heard, that is specifically on the case of Shabbos that goes into Yantiv, that halacha l'maisa, so we do go ahead and we say Atachan Antanu in Modim. So the Gemara says, halacha michlal de pliki. So the fact that they have to establish that the halacha was like Rabbi Yochanan, excuse me, like Rabbi Eliezer, in a case of Yom Tov that goes into Shabbos, indicates that there's someone who argues on this. So the Gemara says, of course, v'lo pligi, there's no one who argues with it. V'al pligi rabbanon. Of course, meaning it's explicit in the Mishnah that there are two other opinions that argue on Rabbi Eliezer. To which the Gemara says, one second. Eimar de pligi rabbanon b'sharimos hashanah. So first of all, that's not so clear. I might have thought that what? That the Mishnah that records the three-way dispute as to the placement of Havdalah is when? Is on a regular Matzei Shabbos. But maybe in a case of where Shabbos goes into Yom Tov, maybe everybody agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that you should put Havdalah into Hodah. V'ha polig Rabbi Akiva. But what about Rabbi Akiva? Remember, Rabbi said, what does Rabbi Akiva hold? Rabbi Akiva holds bracha revias bifnei atzma. Rabbi Akiva holds Havdalah always gets its own separate bracha. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Rabbi Akiva doesn't even have a seat at the table at this discussion. Why? Atu kala shana kulu miav dinan k'Rabbi Akiva da hashta neku v'navid kavase. So the Gemara says, one second, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva throughout the entire year. Now suddenly we're going to pass like Rabbi Akiva. I will say, what does that mean? Rabbi Akiva's shita is the most dramatic. Why is it the most dramatic? Because Rabbi Akiva actually holds that you say an entirely additional bracha. So the Gemara says, if we reject that notion throughout the entire year, we're certainly not going to accept it on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Kol Hashana Kula, my time Elo Avdin and Rabbi Akiva. So why do we reject the position of Rabbi Akiva throughout the entire year? The Tamni Sari Tikun, Tish Sari Lo Tikun. Because very simply, we only have what? Shmona Esrei, 18 brachos. 19 brachos, of course, we know that's not totally true. We do have 19 brachos, but okay, we'll leave that aside. But the point over here is, Rabbi Akiva is asking us to do something dramatic, which we feel uncomfortable doing, which is adding on another bracha to Shmona Esrei. Hachanami sotu bayomtiv, shov takun, shev takun, tinni lo takun, shev takun, tinni lo takun. There are 7 brachos of the Yom Tov Shmona Esrei, not 8. So by definition, we can't even entertain Rabbi Akiva's position. Amarlei, so we'll say, therefore, what we're left with is what? Pretty much the only possibility, at least appears to the Gemara, is the position of Rabbi Eliezer, that we should include modim where we should include Havdalah in Hodah, in modim. So here's what's interesting, we'll say. So now, and I have to appreciate something, is the beauty of learning Gemara is what? So the truth is, if you close your eyes, you feel like you're in the Beis Medrash. There's no Shulchan Aruch to look to, right? There's no Tur, there's no Beis Yosef, there's no art scroll, there's not. So meaning you're sitting there, and what's happening? The halacha is being decided right in front of you. So now the Gemara says like this, Amalei, lav halacha itmar. The truth is, they never really said the halacha was like Rabbi Eliezer. Rather, what did they say? Matin itmar. So we'll say, what is matin? Matin means we lean. We lean. So leaning, I'm leaning in the direction of Rabbi Eliezer. Now leaning in the direction means what? So look at Rashi. This is very important, Rashi. Let's just look at it inside quickly. So Rashi says, okay, very quickly. Rashi divrei maschil halacha. Man de amar halacha darshina le bepirkin. So both say, if you paskin halacha in a certain way, what does that mean? It means that they would give it over in the public shiurim. Right, so when we say the halacha follows someone, it means that when they had the public shiurim, like we saw yesterday, where everybody would gather on the Shabbos before the Yom Tov, they would darshan this in public. That's what it means when we say halacha. Uman do amar matin, midrash lo darshinim b'rabim, avali rui morinan liyachid. So interestingly enough, if you say matin, which means we lean in the direction of Rabbi Eliezer, what does that mean? Are we going to darshan it in public? No. But if somebody comes to ask me a personal shayla, I'll tell them that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer. And the last approach, by the way, Uman da Amar Nirin, which we didn't get to yet in the Gemara, Nirin means, it looks like the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, means what? Not only will we not teach it in public, not only will we not proactively instruct people to follow that way, but what? If somebody comes along and tells me that they dive in their Shmona Esrei like Rabbi Eliezer, what will I say to them? It's okay. So look, go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Lav halacha itmar ela matin." Well, we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer, but what do? We kind of lean in that direction. So the Gemara says, "The itmar of Yitzchak Paradim Yishum Rabbeinu halacha." Some say the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Varmilei matin. Some say we lean in the direction of Rabbi Eliezer, which again means that we won't teach it in public. But if somebody asks in Yeshayla, we'll instruct them in this way. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Modin, but Rabbi Chiya Barava Amar Nirin. So Rabbi Zera says, you should go ahead and follow the psak of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Right? Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was the one who said Nirin. Why? The dayik of the gomer shmaita mipumei demora shapir kirachva de pompadisa. Because Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was meticulous to go ahead and make sure that he always understood what the teachings of his Rebbe, just like Rachba and Pompadisa. Rachba and Pompadisa was someone who was known to be explicit in his wording. So why do we see that? The Amar Rachba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Harabayis Stav Kaful Haya, Vahaya Stav Lifnim Mistav. So when Rachba described the Harabayis in accordance with the teachings of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, he said that Harabayis had a series of benches. They were benches, they were roofed benches around the Harabayis for people to sit and to shield themselves from rain also. And they had double rows of these benches. Now, interestingly enough, everywhere else in the Gemara, these benches are called itzdava. But when Rachva would give over the teaching, Rachva, bless you, Rachva would call it a stav. Why did he call it a stav? Because stav is actually the real name part. So itzdava was kind of like the, slang is the wrong word, but, vernacular, thank you. But the real wording was stav. Right? You wouldn't stop. So the Gemara is saying over here that if Rav Chiya bar Abba came along and told us that the halacha is nirin, that, excuse me, is, well, what did he say? He said, Rav Chiya bar Abba,
nirin.
If he said nirin, then in fact, that's what we should follow. Amar Rav Yosef, ana lo hayidana, v'ana lo hayidana. So Rav Yosef comes along and says, I don't know what any of you guys are talking about, right? I don't know from Nirin, I don't know from Matin, I don't know from Halacha. Here's what I know. Elam Duravu Shmuel Yadana. Ditakino Lon Marganisa V'Bavel. So here, Rav Yosef comes along and says, let me tell you what Rav and Shmuel instituted for us in Bavel. Here's what they instituted. V'todienu Hashem Elokeinu es mishpatei tzidkecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have taught us your righteous statutes, your righteous laws. You've taught us to go ahead and follow the statutes of your will. You've given us beautiful Yomim Tovim. And you've given us as a portion the holiness of Shabbos and the grandeur of Yom Tov. Ben Kedushas Shabbos LeKedushas Yom Tov Hivdalta, and you've allowed us to distinguish between the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Yom Tov. Ves Yom HaShvi'im Misheishes HaMehamasa Kedashta VeHivdalta VeKedashta Es Yom HaKedusha Yisrael BeKedushasecha VaTitein Lanu. So Yossi comes along and says, whatever all of you guys are talking about, no idea. Let me just throw you out. Let me just share with you what Rav and Shmuel gave us in Pumpadisa, this beautiful paragraph that we go ahead and include where? All the way at the beginning of Shmona Esrei. So halacha lemaisa, we obviously know who we pass. Like Rav, so first of all, it's like, oh, so you have to appreciate. We're not going to have this situation this year. But next time we have a Yom Tov coming on to Shabbos, so just appreciate that the Vatodi, anyway, that we say, Mamish, we got it from Rav and Shmuel. You know what that means? That the tefillah that we say is Mamish Rav and Shmuel's tefillah that came from Pumpadisa, what we say in Baltimore, came from Pumpadisa, made its way to Eretz Yisrael and followed Jews wherever they went. That's what we say. And the beauty of a Todi Enu is what? First of all, we keep the symmetry. This way, we go ahead and we always keep Havdalah in the beginning of Shmona Esrei, so we always paskin essentially like the Rabbanon in the Mishnah. Namely, it's not in Atachonin La'adam Das, but it's close enough. It's all in the beginning of Shmona Esrei, as opposed to flip-flopping. That during the year, we follow like the Tanakhama, and then we follow Rabbi Eliezer. No, this way we keep it symmetrical, always at the beginning, and again, following the usage of Rabbi Shmuel. Let's just begin the Mishnah. I know it's late, but just very quickly, we have to get a little bit further. Ha'omra Kan Sipir Girachamecha, Mishnah. If someone is davening for the Amid, actually very apropos, last week's parasha, someone is davening for the Amid, and they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now this is what you have to appreciate what's happening over here. Somebody is davening Chazaras HaShatz, and in the middle, they get so inspired, because our tefillos, Baruch Hashem, are inspirational. They get so inspired that what's written in the Siddur is not enough. They mamish have to start ad-libbing a little bit, and they add in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the wings of birds, your divine compassion should arrive. Or Va'al Tobi Zacher Shmecha. Or on that which is good, your name should be remembered. Or modim, one modim is never enough, right? They need two modims, Meshaskin also. We silence them immediately. Says the Gemara, Bishlama modim modim. Now I understand why modim modim. I'm sorry, I'll be saying the whole time. Bishlama modim modim. I understand why double modim. Why? Mishaskin also. Bishum demechse kishtei reshuyos. Because also obviously, if you're saying modim modim, it looks like potentially you're davening to two different gods. Va'al tov yizachar shmecha. Nami mashma ala tov lo ala ra. And I even understand why we silence him if he says ala tov yizachar shmecha. Why? Because what does that sound like? For the good, we remember God. But what does it make it sound like? That for that which we perceive as negative, then what? Either A, we don't thank God for that, or either B, we say that perhaps it's not God. Either way, it's theologically flawed. Utnan, chayiv adam levarich al ra, kishim shem levarich al tova. We are obligated to accept, or literally bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which is negative, in the same way that we bless Him for that which is good. Ela al katsipo yagei rachamecha, my taima. So interesting, the Gemara says, truth be told, doesn't sound so bad. Actually, you could put on an invitation, right? I'm saying it sounds nice. It actually sounds very beautiful. So what's the pshat? Why go ahead and you have to silence him? So pligi b'tramoroi, says machlokes. This was a machlokes in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chad Amar, mipnei shematil kina b'maseh bereshis. One said that we silence him. Why? Because you are creating tension among God's creations. Or in other words, what does that mean? That halacha lemaisa, to say that God's compassion only extends to the birds, okay, and what about every other animal? So you're going to create a sense of tension within nature. V'chad amar, mipnei she'oseh midosa she'akadosh baruch hu rachamim, ve'enon elo gzeros. The other opinion, which is more theologically profound, says that when you say al kansi b'girachamecha, you are presupposing that you understand the reason for God's mitzvos. Because essentially what you're saying is Kodesh Baruch Hu, just like you said, told us to send away the mother bird out of compassion, so too you are compassionate. Well, how do you know that's why God told us to send away the mother bird? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to send away the mother bird, why? Because that's what God told us to do. So there's a danger in beginning to attribute reasons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah. So as much as, just you should understand, this is a major philosophical debate as to whether or not you go ahead and look for reasons in mitzvahs. But even if you find some reason, man must be humble enough to say that even if this is the reason that I think we do this, at the end of the day, that my motivation for doing it is simply why? Because God commanded me to do it. So the notion of going ahead and starting publicly to attribute reasons for mitzvos is theologically problematic. Therefore, if he starts to do it, Mishaskin also, we quiet him up. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Hahu dinachas kamei derabo. There was a particular shliach tzibur who was davening in Rabbah Shul. V'omer, and he said, again, in the middle of his chazaras hashatz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have been compassionate on the bird's nest. Atochus v'rachim aleinu. HaKadosh, beautiful tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like you're compassionate on the bird, so too you should be compassionate on us. Amar Rabbah, kamo yada haitzur mirabon l'ratzui l'maray. Wow, what about tefillah? How much is about tefillah knows how to appease his master? Amar the Abayi is sitting over there, and Abayi says, what are you talking about? V'hamashaskin also tonight. But we learned in the Mishnah that you have to silence him if he says such a thing. The Rabbah nami the chadudi la'abayi hu deboi. So as they see this a number of times in the Gemara, where Rabbeim would try to go ahead and test their students mamish in real time. So Rabbah praised the Shliach Tzibur, waiting to see what his Talmud's response would be. And Baruch Hashem, the Talmud was correct. There was a particular Shliach Tzibur who was davening before Rabbi Chanina, and he said, Amar hakel, hagodol, hagibor, hanora, ha'odir, ha'ozos, ha'yori, ha'chozik, ha'omitz, ha'vadai, ha'nichbod. Mamish. Him tin lo ad desayim. So Rabbi Chanina is sitting there. So he waited for the guy to finish. Okay, once he finishes, ki sayim amar le sayim tin lo kulhu shvachi dimarach. So essentially Rabbi Chanina says, are you done? Right? Are you finished? Meaning, have you really finished enumerating all of the beautiful praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara, what he was really saying is, you fool, you know, once you start, what are you doing? So now you add on another six praises, great. And now you captured the totality of the magnificence of God? Of course not. So what have you accomplished? So interestingly enough, Rabbi Chanina says, Lama li kuli hai, anan hani tlas da aminon, ilav da aminon Moshe Rabbeinu ba'oraisa, v'asu anshe kineses hagdolo v'taknino b'tfila, lo havinon yicholin lemeimar lohu. So Rabbi Chanina says, you don't understand. We wouldn't even say Hakel, well, Hagodol, Hagibor, Hanora. We wouldn't even be saying those. The only reason we say those three things is why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said those three, and actually Knesset Hagodol took those three and incorporated into it. But on her own, the truth is, we would not say anything. Why? Because the truth is, it sounds interesting, but partial praise is actually considered to be partial shtach. That's Latin, right? It's actually considering a partial. If you can't do it right when it comes to praise, actually conventional wisdom says if you can't do it right, maybe you shouldn't do it at all. The truth is, married men understand this concept very well, right? So the truth is, you know, sometimes trying and not getting it right actually is worse than not trying at all. See, he says the following. Just for the record, I have no personal experience with that. That's, I want to put that clear. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, he says, Mashal Melech Basar Vadam, Shahayulo Elef Alafim Dinari Zahav. So it could be compared to a king who's fabulously wealthy. It's hundreds of thousands, right? Millions of gold pieces. Vahayu Mikalsin also, Rishal Kesef. So right, it's like the king who's fabulously wealthy and writes with gold, and you go over to him and you say, wow, you know, I heard you have a lot of silver. Right? So meaning saying that is obviously, even though technically speaking, you say you're praising his wealth, but your praise ultimately falls short. V'halo ginai hulo, and ultimately praise that falls short. Because you know what happens? I'll say when you praise in a way that falls short, it actually to a certain degree means that you probably don't fully appreciate the person who you are praising. Let's go a little bit weiter. V'am Rabbi Chanina, Hakol b'tei shechus migira shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for fear of heaven. Shene Amar Va'ato Yisrael Ma'ashem Lokecha Shomi Machkim Liyira. So the Gemara says, because Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, what does God ask of you? Only to fear Him. Right? Only to fear Him. So the Gemara says, Atu Yiras Shamayi Milsa Zutrasahi. Is fear of heaven such a small thing that Moshe Rabbeinu says, good news, all God asks of you is just to fear Him, to love Him, to walk in His ways, but aside from that, He doesn't ask anything else. So the Gemara says something amazing. So the Gemara says something amazing. There's only one thing that God keeps in His divine vault. And what is that? Our reverence and awe of Him. So you have to understand what this means. What do you keep in a vault? Something that is not real, that you are scared of losing. That's at the end of the day. Because if it's you, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't keep gold because liya kesef liya zav. He doesn't even keep our neshamas because He owns all of that. But the one thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu has that's most valuable to Him is the one thing He doesn't own, and that's our yira shamayim. How much we love Him, how much we revere Him, how much we connect with Him, the relationships we create with Him, that's ours. So when we give that to Him, that is the most precious thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. So the Gemara says the following. In Legabe Moshe, Milsa Zutrasi. You know what the truth is? From Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, Yiras Shamayim is not such a big deal. And from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, Moshe says to Kla Yisrael, what does God ask of you? Ma Hashem Elokecha Shomi Imach Kim Liyira also. And yes, from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, this is an easy thing for us to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To Amar Rabbi Chanina, Mashal Adam Shemavak Shemimeno Kli Gadol, V'yeshlo. So this can be compared to someone who has a large utensil, right? So let's say someone has a large utensil, and I ask him to borrow the utensil. So if he has it, Doma Alav Kikli Katan, Katan De'en Lo, Doma Alav Kikli Gadol. Someone gives a very interesting mashal. If somebody has something, Rabbosai, then ultimately it's not considered to be something that's that great. Masha Enkein, if you don't have it, but you need it, it's considered to be something amazing, something magnanimous, something enormous. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who has incredible Yiras Hashem, when he says to Klal Yisrael, Ma'ashem Elokecha Sho'am Mi'imach Ki'im Li'yira, from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, God is not asking all that much. From us, from our perspective, who don't necessarily have Moshe Rabbeinu type Yira, then halacha l'maisa, yes, it is an awesome undertaking. But the message of Moshe Rabbeinu still remains the same. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you weigh that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us versus what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us, we definitely get the better end of the deal. Because very simply put, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us everything. And all He asks of us, from us in return, ultimately, is our love and our commitment. All right, so we'll stop here.